You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Mindfield podcast from Anfield Index Pro. As always, I am your host, Alan O'Donoghue, and I am joined by my partner in crime, Dr. Andrew Vincent. Andrew, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. You've already had to listen to a bunch of me today. This is our second podcast we're recording. So, yeah, I'm doing well. How are you keeping? How are you holding up over there?
I'm doing okay. It's tough going here. For those of you who don't know, I have my own podcast called the Motivation Interview Podcast, and I just did an interview with Andrew. So keep a close eye on my socials, and you will see and hear more about Andrew. So
Also, if he sounds frustrated or distressed, that explains why. It's been a lot of
Andrew,
a lot of me that he's had to tolerate for the last hour. Yeah.
Normally, I only meet people for an hour. That's it. After that, I can't handle them for longer. So here we are going into our second hour. But today, Andrew, we want to talk about not me and you. We want to talk about LFC and recent goings-ons with getting knocked out of the FA Cup and with the young players that are coming through the ranks and how they're doing and how the culture and the psychology has facilitated that integration into the first team squad and first 11 as well. So I suppose if we were to look at the result against Man United and getting knocked out of the FA Cup first. So for me, I hate losing to Man U, but I really wasn't that bothered. I was disappointed that we threw it away, but at the end of the game, I was like, yeah, that's grand. We're out of the FA Cup. I'm okay with that. I wasn't buying into the quad. I want the league title. That's what I want. I don't care about anything else. Other things are a bonus, but that's what I want. So I wasn't that bad. And then, you know, having conversations with my Man United supporting family and my Man United supporting friends. And I'm like, the reaction has stunned me. The reaction to this result, like my dad, right? Sounds a bit like, probably like your dad. Like he is, that's it. We lose a game. Ten Hag needs to be fired. That's it. He needs to be gone. And he's been like that now for months. Fucking manager has lost it. He is shit. He is useless. Look at the team he's picking. And I spoke to him on Monday or Tuesday, and he was like, this is the turning point. This is Alex Ferguson and Mark Robins scoring a goal in the FA Cup, and this is going to change the trajectory of Man United. I'm like, what? And not only that, though.
You're going to lose to Coventry in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Every other United fan and Sky Sports and all the other, you know, even the radio here, like there's a sports show in Ireland, and the effusiveness that they're talking about United and this win and how, you know, it's so amazing. And I'm like, lads, it's a quarter final of an FA Cup that we literally handed to them, you know, and I'm absolutely stunned at the outrage. And I'm not seeing a huge amount of Liverpool fans losing their shit over it. Now, maybe that's because I'm not on social media that much, but it just seems bananas. What was your take?
Yeah, well, so like watching the game, so my friend Adam, like one of my best friends, United fan, and the one, you know, if you listen to the Motivation interview, you'll know that Adam and I argue and compete eternally. And so, of course, he's a Man United fan and I'm a Liverpool fan. And that is the only way it could be.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I never thought we were going to lose, even when we were losing. You know, and so I wasn't really that bothered. And then when we lost, I was annoyed. I mean, like, I was more unhappy about it than I was throughout the entire game, because I realized it was the only time in the game when they scored their second goal in extra time to make it 4-3. That was the first time I actually thought that we might lose. And we, at that point, I was like, we will lose. Like, this is over. But like, that was the first time I was like, we might lose. There was literally not another point in that entire match where I was like, oh, we could lose this game.
Yeah, it was the same. I remember when we were 1-0 down and I was watching with my wife and my kids and I was like, we're going to win this 4-1 easily. And they were like, don't jinx it, Dad. And I was like, I'm not. This is going to be easy.
It was my fault.
But I was the exact same. At no point during that match did I think we were going to lose it.
And that's actually what I want to talk about, because I think that's how the players felt too.
I agree.
And, you know, we've talked an awful lot about the resilience this team has and the capacity to come back. And I don't think this team ever took that United team seriously. You know, I think fatigue plays into it too, right? Like, we've played more games, but I think just at the end of the day, this team is so used to being able to come back that probably in this particular instance, it caught us a little bit. And I mean, it is part of what happened, right? Like, if you just look at the arc of the game, they scored first, better than us for the first chunk of the game. You know, we kind of stole two goals. And I think at that point, that was when the team was like, yep, see, here we go. Like, they're not going to be able to touch us. And then, you know, the first half of the second half, like, we just played them off the park. Like, they never got the ball. And it just looked like pathetic from them, you know? It just looked like we're just going to control this game through the next 45 minutes. United are barely going to be able to touch it. We'll probably get a third. They'll totally quit. And that's how this is going to go. And that's just completely what I thought. And then they made their little push at the end. And to be honest, I never took it very seriously. Then they managed to score from that. It was like, oh, that's annoying. Now we have to go to extra time. Probably some guys are going to be tired. And obviously we score first in extra time. And it was just kind of like, okay, well, there's that. But yeah, just never. I think looking at the players, it was a time where, like, you know, we often talk about narratives and how the stories and how we expect things to play out. I think you know, this narrative of we're going to come back, like we might go down, but then we'll come back and we'll control the game and we'll get it over the line. I think that's what they thought. And then, yeah, like that.
Enjoying this podcast? Then why not supercharge your support for the Reds with Anfield Index Pro? With around 30 premium podcasts every month, AI Pro offers the very best reviews, reaction and debate on all things LFC. From the acclaimed statistics and deep dive analytics found in our Under Pressure podcast, to the transfer links, scouting reports and fast live reaction shows we record after every match, AI Pro is home to our very best content. With regular appearances by Reds legends like Jan Molby and Sir Kenny Dalglish, plus insight from journalists, sports scientists, coaches and psychologists, we'll help bring you closer to the club you love. There's never been a better time to take AI Pro for a test drive. Available on all popular podcast platforms with free apps for iOS and Android. You can try it absolutely free with no strings attached. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com to start your 7-day free trial now.
They just weren't prepared for a tough game.
Yeah. I think if there was 5-10 minutes left in extra time when United scored, I think we would have scored again. I wouldn't think they would have raised their game. And I think it was just the consequence of it being the last minute that they scored in, the last touch of the game, pretty much, that they scored in. I think that would have had the impact. And I agree wholeheartedly with you that the players just look like this is the routine win that we have against a team that isn't that good, that we're just far superior from. You know, we can afford to take off Salah. We can afford to take off the Bosley. It's fine. The lads coming on are going to do a sufficient enough job to control this game. And that's why, and I don't normally kind of put my neck on the line when it comes to games. That's why I've said to all my friends and family who support United, we're absolutely going to tear you apart in the league. And I think we will. I think we'll absolutely destroy them in the league game at Old Trafford. We may not score 5 or 6 goals, but I think we'll win it. And I think we will play exceptionally well. And I think we will be devastating in our finishing. And I genuinely don't get into that kind of talk or thought process, really, because I'm very much of, well, let's just see how it plays out. And I do think maybe it's more of a hope, but I do think this was what we maybe needed for the run in. That will give all the players, all the coaches, a bit of a reality check, more so than a kick in the arse. Maybe a kick in the arse as well. But we can't afford to switch off. We can't afford to not take every game seriously now, because there is no wiggle room in the league. Absolutely no wiggle room in the league. And when you're throwing in the Europa League as well, you know, there's no wiggle room there. Yes, we could have had a harder draw, but Atalanta are not going to be easy. So we're going to have to be at it. We're going to have to be on. We cannot take teams for granted at all. And sometimes you do need that correction. And luckily enough, it was in the FA Cup. I'm so happy. And before the game, I was saying to my gym coach is a fanatical United fan. And he's like, he's going to win on Sunday. And I was like, I don't care. And he's like, what? What? I was like, yeah, I actually don't care. I was like, I'd much rather get 3 points in the league against you than the FA Cup. And of course, I got a text from him after the match, you know, are you okay? But I absolutely was okay. So I'm hopeful that they will take the learnings and that they won't become complacent. And it's not, I think we have to understand the term complacent. It's not that the players all got together at halftime and went, all right, lads, let's go into easy street. But I think what I'm talking about in terms of complacency is they accept that they are good, very good. They accepted that they were better than this United team, almost man for man. And the level of trust they have within themselves to get over the line is absolutely massive. But you still got to take your chances.
Right. Well, and I think actually, you know, you're describing having a really similar experience to the game as me. And I imagine a lot of people watching from wherever they were watching had a similar experience of too, of just never really feeling nervous, never really feeling like, oh, this isn't going to go our way. Just feeling like, oh, this is going to come back. And I can remember feeling that way in some games. Was the start of last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was, when we had that really bad run, it was last season, where it was just like, I was so used to winning that even when we started losing, it was just like, oh, we're not actually going to lose, you know, like, well, this will turn back around. And then it wouldn't. And it was like, well, that was weird, but it took a while for that to go away. And, you know, it didn't feel like that in terms of that eventually was like a downtrend, like, oh God, this is bad. This just felt like a team that didn't even really, I think if you were watching at home and had that kind of reaction, you can probably imagine a little bit of what the players were feeling, different versions of it. But I think it's something that would have been going on for them too, is I just don't, the expectation that you could lose or that this person could hurt you, it would be like wrestling with a kid, you know?
Yeah.
Is like, you just sort of feel like, you know, I'm going to pin this kid eventually, you know, or like, you know, I can't get hurt here. So I can like kind of half pay attention and half not. And it's not that like, whatever, like I think I'm going to lose. It's just like that possibility isn't even there. And so I think you're right. Losing this game highlights that possibility or reminds us that any team can beat us. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's interesting. I'd be really interested to talk to a few of the players and just actually hear from their perspective what they felt like went wrong. And I haven't really watched many of the interviews to see what they think. But this is a good reminder and just an important lesson for this group of players as they learn what it means to be an elite team. Is that when you're wrestling with that kid, you got to bury him.
Tombstone.
You're not wrestling. Right. Yeah. Right. Like you're not wrestling with a kid. Like you're still playing against Manchester United and they can catch you if you're not up for it.
Yeah. And it's funny, I'm not a huge fan of the international break, but I do think it has come at the perfect time for our players to be able to go off, switch off, because it has been such an intense period since January for us, physically, mentally, emotionally. So I do think it's good for them to go get that breath of fresh air, go speak to other people, be around other coaches, and then coming back, they will have just been able to switch their head off from LFC for a week or two. And then they come back and they have that match against Brighton. And I do think that while I'm sure Klopp and the coaching staff would have loved to have had them straight away, maybe it's good for Klopp and the coaching team to have that break too. And catch their breath.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a crazy stretch. Just so many games and so intense. And, you know, with a depleted squad too. Like, we just overperformed what we should have been able to do over the past handful of weeks because of, you know, like we're going to talk about, because of some of the youth squad players who have been able to really show up and make an impression and play well. Like, that just, it shouldn't really have been able to happen. If you look at like who we were counting on to step up and do certain things, like you shouldn't be able to take Mo Salah, Darwin Nunez, Diogo Jota, Alexander Arnold, Szoboszlai, Jones,
Konate, Allison.
Allison, Rabo just coming back. You shouldn't be able to take that many starters out of our team. And that was the only game we lost, was this United FA Cup game.
It's phenomenal. It's absolutely like that phenomenal.
Absolutely unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like they're just, it shouldn't have been able to happen. And the fact that it did is just incredible. Like it's so cool. But yeah, like it shouldn't have been like that. I think the thing with the quadruple is like, God, it would have been cool if Klopp could have left with four trophies, you know? And so But I feel like I've watched City do this every year for the past 8 years, where it gets to mid-March, early April, and it's like, oh, the quadruple, because, you know, they've won the League Cup at that point, and they're looking good for the title. They're still in the Champions League, and they're still in the FA Cup. So everyone starts talking about it. And then inevitably, there would be a week where two of those get off the table. They lose an FA Cup game, and then maybe they fall out in the Champions League or whatever. And, you know, watching that happen so many times, like, I have learned that
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Just don't even think about it.
Yeah, because it's a near impossibility, because it's never happened.
Right. And like, obviously we got as close as you can possibly get, you know,
and didn't
a couple
do
years
it.
Ago. Right.
It's like, you know, over here, we've just finished the Six Nations rugby tournament, and Ireland were going for back-to-back Grand Slams, which has never been done before. And we went to play England 2 weeks ago in Twickenham in England, and it was the worst odds for England ever in a home rugby match, and it was the best odds ever for Ireland. Like, the accepted wisdom was that Ireland are literally the best team in the world, and England won with a drop goal at the end. But their performance belied how they've been, and there was so much criticism of the Irish team afterwards. But we got to take that step back. This is something that has never been done. Ever. Now, Ireland ended up winning the championship. Great. But to go unbeaten, which is the Grand Slam, has never been happened back to back. So, you know, we got to be realistic about these things, that while as an idea, it's fantastic, but there's a reason it never happened before. And we got to have a shorter conversation than usual today, Andrew, you know, unfortunately due to time restrictions. But I do want to talk about the youth players coming through and what your impression is of them and the mentality they have and how you think that's been fostered to give them the confidence and self-belief to step in. Because we've seen kids come through before and do okay, but never to this magnitude or this level where there is such a group of them that they just seem fearless.
Yeah. And I mean, it speaks to two things. You know, the first thing it speaks to is, you know, the individuals, of course, you know, because just to have that level of confidence and that belief in yourself and to push yourself to be in that position is obviously, you know, incredible in and of itself. So it's like, these are special young men for sure. And, you know, I think on top of that, what you get is having the training grounds together, having these kids having been at practices, because that's something that's been the case, is like, what you can't expect is for a 17-year-old who's never been around the first team to show up and do 2 days of training with these players and then be able to step in and do what they did in the League Cup. That's impossible. And just think about what it's like to be 17, you know, and, you know, then to be 17, to step on the field for the first time with these players, it's going to be emotional, intense, intimidating. The relationships aren't going to be there. When you see these guys around, right, like maybe in the you know, when you're having lunch or when you're kicking around the training ground, when you are overlapping, like you've been on a couple of summer trips with them, right? Like you've been on the preseason tour, when you have done some of the training camps away, and those include some of the team building things. And then, you know, maybe you've trained with the team fairly regularly. Like a lot of people have talked about already the tactical component, and that's important, but not really what we talk about here. So, you know, the players are already are hardwired, like the pressing approaches and stuff are built into their soccer DNA at this point. Cool. That's a testament to the academy. On a human level, having it so that you can be ready, like, you know, being able to go in that League Cup, feeling like you're surrounded by teammates rather than being the new kid, it's such a different state of affairs. And I don't know what to what extent it was for all of the players there, because there's a couple, like, I don't know all the names yet even, but like one of them was like 16 or something, right? 17. So I don't know how much time they've all spent around the first team, but clearly enough that the other players, they have some comfort with the other players. The other players have some comfort with them. If nothing else, as people, you're not asking them to do the whole thing in a couple of days where it's like, hey, you're getting yanked up from the U18s and you're going to be starting tomorrow in the League Cup. Like that would be impossible. You know, like that would be super hard, but there's so much of that foundation that exists from having these interpersonal interactions, from knowing each other, from feeling supported. So that's one of the big things. And the other thing is, I'm trying to think when it was that Klopp talked about it. And I don't know if it was after the League Cup or if it was the game after that, where he talked about how sometimes, like, if you're having youth players playing closely with senior players, you can see the senior players being a little bit like, all right, like I'm going to have to carry this kid. And like a little frustrated or a little on edge, or just a little bit like, all right, like here we go. And he said, like, Klopp emphasized, there's just none of that from the senior players. And that makes such a difference too, because you know when you're playing a sport, right? Like if the people around you are feeling like they're carrying you or not interested in playing with you or not passing to you, you feel that, and that shakes your confidence. And so, you know, it's a testament to the group around them too, that, like, you know, from a coaching and planning perspective, these people had been around the team in a human way. There's been some overlap. There's been some conversations. Like, I think we have a group of players who are really good about mentoring. So like they know on a personal level. And then also, you know, just from what I was talking about is once you're on the field, that we're a team and not like, hey, it's us. And then there's the new kids and geez, they're going to do these things. It's like, no, we're a group. And for them to feel that, like those really create a good setup, as good as you can possibly prepare someone to be effective quickly.
Yeah. I do think that, because, you know, even been involved with teams and stuff like that myself, like when I was younger, and you always felt like, you know, when you were coming into play to at the senior level, when you were say under 18 or under 17, and you'd step up and you play the senior, and you knew that the guy that you were, whose place you were taking, he was like, all right, pup, don't be getting too comfortable. But that's not something that I get with this group at all, the sense that I get with this group at all. And I don't know if that was there last year. And maybe it's narrative, I don't know. But given what came out, say, about, you know, Henderson, or, you know, and how he reacted to, you know, not being sure about getting a new contract, or, you know, even how he left the club and stuff like that. But he's your captain. And while I would never expect your captain to go, yeah, I'm happy enough for these young kids to come in and take my place, there is now, or appears to be now, a much more open environment for those young people to come in and take the place. And maybe that's just because Virgil knows He is the best centre half at the club. So doesn't matter how well Jarrell Kwanza comes in and plays, he's not displacing Virgil in the lineup. Maybe It was very different for Jordan, where maybe it was a defensive situation where he was scared. This young kid could come in and take my place.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could be. It's interesting because as you mentioned that, I can't think of a lot of situations where Klopp has put a younger player in position to be out of sync with the hierarchy. And what I mean by that is even if there's games where maybe a younger player like Kwanza has started over Gomez at center back, obviously this year it's a little bit different because Gomez has gotten so much playing time. I've never seen it done where the younger player, maybe except for when Trent was young and he was replacing Klein, mm-hmm. although Klein was pretty badly injured at that point. So I can't think of a time where he's put someone in that position of benching the older player in favor of the younger player, at least in a long-term enough way that would put a target on the back of the younger player. And I think that probably helps too, because you look at that League Cup game, and if you're on the field and you see these young players coming on, probably all you're thinking is like, thank God we have people with two legs who understand our systems well enough to play, right? Like, thank God we have people who can come on and be ready to go here. Like, great. Like, awesome. And so you're not thinking like, oh man, this kid again, like he's taking this player off. You're thinking like, oh good. Like, let's help him out. Let's support him and let's push him. Like, I can't think of a player who's been put in that spot that you're talking about where the senior player would be like, okay, I got a target on this kid's back now. Mm. Can you?
No, I can't think of any. But I've never seen Jürgen use as many kids as he has done this season. And we've had bad injury crises before.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on eplindex.com. The podcasts are my own Two-Footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, they're every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's true. And I think there happens to be a group of players who are good enough, but I also think he had no choice. Mm. Like, there was no one left to play.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, there was no one left to play.
And I think the fact that we can't think of it also probably speaks a lot to his approach to youth development. Like, it's just kind of sinking into me now as we're talking about it, how brilliant that is, actually. It's not just about when the player is ready to step into that role, but if you're conscious of not putting that player into that role until everyone around them is also ready for them to be there, you set them up so much better. Because one of the things that can be really challenging if you're a player trying to prove yourself is if you're trying to prove yourself against people who think less of you. And sometimes that's possible, right? That can be good motivation and fuel, but it also it creates like an oppositional relationship within the squad where other people are almost trying to prove you're not as good as you are, which sets you up not well.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, to be able to bring players through in a way where by the time they're starting regularly, it's not surprising to anyone. It's not out of place at all. Is really it never really occurred to me if that's really intentionally done, how important that is actually for youth development, or how good. And obviously it takes, it's a little bit of a luxury, because, you know, other times it might be somewhere like, we'll use United, right? Like Garnacho, and they've brought in a bunch of young players, but there's older players sitting on the bench. And so like, if you're Scott McTominay at the beginning of the season, and all of a sudden Mainoo is coming in, and that, of course, that's going to make you mad. We've never really had a situation like that where Klopp's looked at the squad and said, this person is not doing enough. You're down, you're up, you know, at least not for a long period of time that I can think of.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And yeah, it could be down to luck. It could be down to a number of factors. Who knows? Who knows? Unfortunately, Andrew, we got to call time. I thought it was a short one, but, you know, we'll be back in a couple of weeks to delve into it. We'll be after the international break, and hopefully we'll have got a win under our belt, or coming close to getting a win under our belt against Brighton in the next match. Thanks so much for your insight, and I do think there's more for us to chat about. And listeners, keep on listening and subscribe to Anfield Index Pro so you can get more than the 30 minutes that we're actually stopping on. No.
We're actually going to spend 10 seconds talking about something really interesting, actually.
Just to push it over the 30 minutes.
Just to push it over.
But
bonus content.
You know, I suppose what is important for us here is that the content is, there's a lot of costs go on behind to the scenes to keep this open, keep the doors open here at Anfield Index Towers. So please do go and support. It is literally the price of a nice cup of coffee or a pint once a month. It is well worth the content, as I'm sure you guys know. And we will be back very, very soon. So look after yourself and take care.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.